All right, so everybody, is another episode of Zaylink. We are on episode 22.
The initial would probably be more the aggressor, but after it was a lot more submissive.
It seems like I'm all for it. I'm loving it. Hey, big head.
Incarceration, I do work with individuals who primarily their life's work has been around women incarceration.
Okay, we don't want to talk about your official experience, but let's talk about some BDSM in the bedroom. Are you
hold on before you get to that? You might not have to be going so far back before. You might get trailers, no?
There's POVs.
Wednesday. All right, so everybody, is another episode of Zaylink. We are on episode 22, and I have some amazing guests with me. There's a repeat alumni. We have Arlene Jane, and we also and we also have Rachel, aka Ray XY. Yeah, so we'll be getting into who Rachel is shortly after we play our intro song, and we have Duchess alumni in the building again, audio version only. She has a new song. It's a reggae type of feel, so take it in.
You know I can't take this mute no more. I'm cutting. If fuckery was a person, I'm gone.
Rascal, you go like you need a jeep. If you want move, cut now. Now tell me about the bitch, I call your phone a fucking news. You don't like me by my phone, you trust issues. If you feel like you walk, well, I lovely shows. You upgrade the weight and unlock me yours. Should I be a one night, I'm a brother the rolls.
Yeah, she was at the very beginning. Yes, so go follow Duchess on Instagram. Still holding it down in the six as another talented female artist. So where again, Zaylink is a show about intimacy, sexuality, sensuality, lifestyle, social norms, everything that's going on. And we get the juicy conversations from the most reserved. So let's get into it. But if you do have any questions or want to know about any guests or want to be a guest, send an email to zaylinks@gmail.com and follow on Instagram. I'm your host, Alizé. So check me out, Alizé Vlogs, and check out Friday Ricky Dread production, and definitely check out We Love Hip Hop Network on YouTube. If you are searching for YouTube episodes, go to the playlist for Zaylink and you'll see all the episodes there. And also clips are on the Instagram pages from We Love Hip Hop Network, Alizé Vlogs, Friday Ricky Dread, and Six Views as well, Uncut. So check it out. Good to go. Okay, so we're going to jump into it. And like I said, I have Rachel XY. You might know her in other forms of media for doing a lot of advocacy and community work. And again, Arlene Jane. Been here before from episode one, the official one where we
episode one?
Yeah. Well, the official one. Yeah, when we did the official group podcast with a few ladies as well. So yeah. So you've seen the growth.
Yes. Yeah, so
good to have you back. And again, she's representing for Hustle and Heal, and we'll give a little bit of shine to that shortly. So Rachel, for those of you that don't know, is a program director, dancer, co-host, and you wear many hats.
I do.
As a talented female in Toronto. And why don't you kind of give listeners and viewers a little synopsis as to a little bit more of what you do in regards to your titles and what you're involved with as a director, a dancer, I would say model as well, because your pictures don't lie. Yeah.
So yeah, I guess I do wear many hats. Dance, choreography, that kind of, it all came from just a passion with dance. It was dance hall, jazz, funk, heels is kind of where it started. And from that, I had a lot of opportunities to work with tribute acts, to work with various artists themselves when it came to music videos and performances, a lot of shows. And that's kind of just how it developed from there. It wasn't necessarily something I pursued, as opposed to just opportunities came my way. And it was really just a way to express emotion through through a different form of creativity. And so that's sort of how dance kind of evolved for me. And then from there, as a programs director for Keep Six,
Keep Six Org.
Yeah. So we are an organization that works specifically with criminalized individuals. So either individuals that are currently in contact with the criminal justice system, as well as individuals that are post-release and at-risk youth. Really just advocating for criminalized individuals, supporting them as much as we can, providing programming, and really just ensuring that they've got structured support and resources in place.
Beautiful. I felt like she was reading that, but you're so well-versed in what you do, and this is why like it's important to get you to highlight that skill set and that involvement that you have. We do talk about different subject matter on this show, but it's also good to keep it real and get back to the community and the issues that do revolve around, you know, what we're involved with and the younger generation, or even just, you know, everyday people, because this is what we reflect our content on a lot of the time, to address not only gossip and celebrity news, but the real stuff as well. So I appreciate that and respect what you do as a talented female. So we're going to go into a few topics about, yeah, Keep Six Org. So you kind of gave the synopsis about it in regards to your initiatives. Anything else? Like, is there any upcoming stuff that's going on?
So we do have a few things going on currently. So there's a new program that was recently rolled out called TRAP, which is a partnership between Keep Six and TRAP. And essentially what it stands for is the Transition Recidivism Action Plan. So it's a 6-week program that really delves into honing in on the already existing skills that individuals have. So a lot of times I'll have clients and individuals that will be talking to me and they'll be like, yeah, well, I've been trapped in my whole life. I don't know anything other than that. I don't have any other skill sets. What else am I going to do?
And trapping, for those that don't understand the terminology, is a form of hustle, yeah, a form of selling, interesting goods on the black market, doing that kind of stuff. So involving yourself in the lifestyle of usually drugs or, I guess, illegal items.
Right. So a lot of people will say that they don't have any other skill sets. And then we sit back and we say, okay, but during this time period, this is what you were doing. How were you successful during that time period? What were you doing in terms of competitors that are obviously in the same market that you're in? How were you able to keep your clientele? Were you not then growing a business? Right? Were you not growing a business? Were you not an entrepreneur? Were you not doing your marketing and analysis? And so when you hone in and you say, well, you already have the skill sets, you just got to learn how to tune them, then it's like, oh shit.
Make it transferable skills.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's exactly what it is. So that program really just hones in on those skill sets. It really helps individuals to also be more expressive in terms of communicating as well. And then from there, helping them either if they're looking at getting into schooling or employment or what have you, then we're able to kind of provide those resources.
No, I appreciate that. And if people are not involved in community work, at least try to do a little bit, because it's very helpful for your own growth and development, for you to give back and also remember where you could have been and maybe where you came from. So that's good to know. So let's talk about the prison and police abolition component of what you're passionate about.
Yes.
We're going to get into the juice, but we're going to keep it kind of kosher for, you know, the beginning part, just to kind of warm you up.
Before the Casamigos comes out.
Oh, no. So I'm a very big advocate for prison and police abolition. And one of the things, like, especially when it comes to policing, a lot of people often say, like, the system is broken. And the one thing that people fail to realize is that it's not broken. It's doing exactly what it was designed to do. Right? So when we look at Canada being a white settler state, And the authorities that were put in place to control those that were marginalized at that time being the indigenous people, and how it's evolved to where we are currently. The authorities or the police were the ones that were the slave catchers. They were, right? So if we just look at the evolution of what policing is and look at what it is now, as much as you might say inclusivity and diversity, the root is still the same. It's just evolved over time. And it's so important when we look at it, it's the police aren't the ones that keep us safe. It's our community that keeps us safe.
I think it's the narrative for sure. A lot of people are misguided by it. They don't understand how things were manufactured or created to work or not work. But I guess, again, it's about the blame game and it's about education. Once you understand what you're actually talking about, then you can really understand how to speak on it.
Right. Exactly. So that's really been sort of my focus point, looking at so many individuals that have been criminalized, being individuals that are really just trying to support themselves, no matter the industry. Women that are criminalized, and I know that's something that Arlene's very passionate about as well. And that kind of leads just into prison abolition, especially when you look at our prison system and how fucked our prison system is.
Just when you're talking about prison system, I notice a lot of the time when we talk about it, we talk about like mandem or men. We don't really talk about females in prison. So is that an area that you're very familiar with to talk about kind of?
So I primarily, and it's very unfortunate because there isn't as much research that goes into women in incarceration as there is when it comes to men. And oftentimes when we speak about incarceration, we speak primarily from the male perspective. I personally haven't had too much exposure to women in incarceration. I do work with individuals who've primarily their life's work has been around women incarceration. So Dr. Ray Reese being one of them, who's really focused on women in incarceration, specifically Black women within incarceration. I primarily have not had too much exposure per se. I do a lot of readings when it comes to it because that is an area that I'm very interested in. And a lot of the programs that we've seen currently are, again, tailored towards male. So I'm looking at seeing how we can build programming specifically towards women because it's not something that we hear about.
And it's funny, as we're talking, it kind of like just, you know, a bell just went off in my head. And I'm thinking the most we talk about when it comes to women being either wayward or on that slope is when we talk about sex workers. Mm-hmm. Right, in that area. So I notice when we talk about men or predominantly Black men, it's like the incarcerated ones or the drug dealers. But when it comes to women, we don't even really have that conversation about women in jail. We just kind of get to sex work and then we kind of leave it there.
Yeah.
So it's just funny as we're speaking, it was just something that I felt like, it was interesting to kind of ask and bring our attention to kind of think about that. So moving on, let's talk about COVID. So with your endeavors and what you're doing, how do you feel like the pandemic has impacted you on like a personal level?
So I think COVID's a blessing in disguise. Because one, it's really forced me to kind of look at things outside of the box. Because obviously with everything having to move to virtual spaces, it's now, well, how do I reach my target audience? We're not able to do workshops anymore. We're not able to have that sort of physical communication. So how do we still reach that target audience? And so it was really looking at, okay, what are some ways that we can do that? And so from that, like, I mean, back in, it was actually May 13th of last year, we started a show called Connect the Six. And it was really primarily to connect the six with individuals within the community and celebrate their endeavors, what they've done in terms of overcoming barriers themselves, and really also just promote a lot of Black leaders within the six as well, and creating a network for individuals to be able to hone in and be like, oh, this person has this business, maybe I can hit that person up, or this person's in the arts, maybe I'll connect with that one. And we've had so many individuals who've cross-connected through our program because of that. And so now we're a year into our Connect the Six, which is a weekly program every Wednesdays. And that was something that we were only planning on maybe doing for like 3-4 months.
What part of the city do you normally highlight?
So it's throughout, honestly. We've had people from Mississauga, we've had people from the East End. We've actually gone a little bit outside of the six, and we've featured individuals from Calgary. We've had people from Brooklyn come in as well in the States. Mm-hmm. So we've tried to open it up quite a bit, but primarily everyone's within the GTA because the whole purpose of it is to network again, right? So we want to ensure that the individuals that we're featuring are accessible to those that want to contact them.
No, for sure. In regards to, like, on a personal level now. Ambiance.
Ambiance.
Oh, man. Yes. So let's talk a little bit more about dating.
Okay.
Let's jump right into it.
Yeah.
So we started off with the subtle business. And again, transitioning your personality, because people have to realize that you are very business oriented. You're a talented woman of, you know, many things, gifts. But I mean, you're still a woman at heart and you're still a person and you still live a regular life. So let's talk about the dating aspect.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to hear a lot of that. So in regards to dating, like what kind of person is ideal for you to consider dating?
So it's someone who's ambitious, has to be very ambitious, very driven, very business oriented. And that's some of the skill sets that my partner currently has. And so I've been rocking with him for so long.
Mm. I like how you personalized it. So how is dating during COVID? Is it something that, because I know that there's a lot of rise on domestic violence. There's a lot of breakups, a lot of divorces, a lot of negativity with couples and relationships during COVID. It seems like you're surviving it.
So my situation's a little bit more unique because he's been incarcerated for quite some time. And I guess that's also where a lot of my passion comes from in terms of advocating for individuals, mm-hmm. Within the system. So he has been incarcerated for quite some time. He was recently released, last year. But unfortunately we do know the system works the way it works. And so due to a breach of parole conditions, we obviously know what ended up happening that way. But yeah.
Mm. So manageable.
It's manageable.
The magic wand.
No, but that makes it real, right? Because a lot of people have fictitious expectations of, you know, because you're a part of a certain type of environment or work or whatever, that, you know, it's all peachy and gravy. And this is where I like the transparency, that you're keeping it real enough to say, yo, like, this is my situation and I too have to go through this. And, you know, it's not like you're hearing the traditional story of, like, you know, some ratchet hood chick and some trifling dude that's doing whatever. It's a matter of real life situations with real life people in all, like, walks of life that are dealing with all types of things. So it's commendable that you can be open with us and let us know that you're dealing with some real shit.
Ricky Sniper question here. What's the most difficult thing having a relationship with somebody who's on the inside?
So one, I mean, especially now with COVID, it was visitation was automatically canceled, right? Mm-hmm. So not being able to see one another. With that also came just communication in general, because it resulted in a lot of lockdowns, which meant things like you weren't getting phone calls as regularly as you were used to because they were locked in a lot more. Video visits, now everybody was trying to get a video visit, so you were limited in terms of how often you could get video visits now, things along those lines. So it was really more the communication aspects, because it was less contact during that time, especially during COVID. That was a really big thing. And then also too, like, even before that, like, I've really worked to start to build a platform that supports individuals that are supporting loved ones inside. Because one of the things I've noticed is sometimes we get so wrapped up in taking care of that person that we forget about ourselves, right? And I've seen so many women especially who've come on and said, well, I didn't get a phone call, or we were talking today, but he wasn't really in the mood to talk. And they take that very personally. And it's forgetting the fact that that's a completely different atmosphere in there compared to where we are out here. And having to respect and understand that at times they need their space, and they also, the feelings and the, like, sometimes I remember we would have conversations and be like, so, like, how was your day? And it's like, it was the same thing as yesterday. And sometimes you have to, you still have to ask, but you know, like, sometimes it's like you have to realize, like, oh shit, like, sometimes, like, they have those moments where they are just more to themselves, and you have to respect that and not necessarily take it personally. And it takes a very, very strong individual to be able to go through that, especially for many years, because a lot of people will take it personally.
No, for sure. Again, I commend you on your answer, because a lot of people don't know really what some of our real life situations are until we're also expressing that we're in similar shoes to a lot of other people. So I think that's really important to note as well. That's really tough. Distance, because human connection is important, and human connection usually relies around like a physical experience or like an in-person thing. So, I mean, this COVID right now, but like, what, like before COVID and stuff like that, did you find that there was a lot more like leniency and it was a lot more easier?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. 100%. Visitation, that was weekly. I was driving to Kingston every single Sunday. And that it would be what, like a 2.5 hour drive there in the mornings. And then coming back, it'd be like almost 3 hours and change coming back. That was like a weekly thing every Sunday. Sometimes Medium and Max would switch. So on the days when they would switch, then it would be the Saturday instead of the Sunday. Or if I couldn't make it on the weekend, then I would do the little 2 hour drive on the Wednesday. But like, no, it was dedication.
It takes a lot for sure.
And then the times, like, there were times where he was transferred out of province. Then it was driving out of province or flying out of province, which was a whole other thing. So
you're so loyal.
So loyal.
Arlene's so, been there. She's seen so it.
Loyal. Damn. Moral support. Definitely. So let's talk about maybe when it wasn't so rough and tough. Like when he's home, how's it in the bedroom? Let's shed light on some positivity.
We're going in. All right.
Yeah. Going in.
It's amazing.
Okay. We don't want to talk about your official experience, but let's talk about some BDSM in the bedroom. Are you?
Hold on. Before you get to that, when I have to be going so far back before, don't you get? You might get trailers, no?
There's PFVs. There's PFVs. So your PFVs should be.
He knows what's up.
I've been there. Had my trailers.
So there are PFVs, which is what we would call conjugal visits, so the private family visitation. With that, I mean, it really just depends on the institution, because some institutions you'll get it after having just 3 regular visits. For other institutions, you'd have to have like a year worth of visits. Which again, it's like the lack of consistency within the actual system itself. But PFVs were definitely an option and something to look forward to. Those were, depending on the institution, it'd be every 6 weeks. Sometimes it could be every 3 months, depending. But I mean, like when he came home, it honestly, it just made everything worth it, right? Because for a period of time, there was a long period of time where there was no contact just due to system and COVID and this and that. But like, no, it was definitely worth it.
I like that answer. So would it be fair to say that with all that absence of contact, does that make you more of an aggressor sexually in the bedroom? Are you more like, I need to do this, I want to miss, I miss you, da 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 da? Or is it like you guys have like a normal flow?
Jesus. I think it was a little bit of both, to be honest with you. The initial would probably be more the aggressor, but after it, it was a lot more submissive. Because it was also understanding that it's also been a very long time for him too. Right? Mm-hmm. So there is also that submission aspect.
Fair enough, fair enough. You guys have an organic going, so I'm not going to pull too many strings on this one or leave that chapter alone. So let's talk about Bill Gates' divorce.
Okay.
Topics can be random sometimes, but Arlene, you could chime in as well. Bill Gates' divorce. We have the pandemic going on. We have Bill Gates being called out for the most in regards to the vaccines and a lot of scandals, a lot of like a certain type of talk. So how do you feel about him and his wife with their billions?
With their billions?
Divorcing. She's 56 and he's 65.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
I think it's time for her to live a little.
And for him, her side of hers.
And for him to share that wealth. Redistribution. True. It's time. Slide in those DMs.
Oh man.
I'm all for, have you been seeing the memes going?
Have anyone sliding in her DMs?
In Bill Gates' DMs? Like, I'm all for it. I'm loving it. Hey, big head.
But I think that there was something about they went through his records and they found out he was taking a side thing to all kind of his lavish things.
I think it was his ex-girlfriend. Mm-hmm. It was like a part of like, it was some agreement between him and his wife that I don't know if it was once a month or what it was, but like he and his ex-girlfriend would be able to go away for a certain period of time.
Ladies.
Yeah.
Y'all dealing with that agreement?
No.
No.
No? Are they?
How much money am I getting? Am I being taken care of, compensated?
But for a lot of women, it's not about that, though. It's like just the shame of like, you want something else on top of that. We have the money. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, an intimate life. Like, you really need to do that. Because most guys don't show their partner that they're doing that. And then it's even more upsetting. So it's like, if it's consensual or to the point where he's saying, yes, this is what I want. It's like, why are you married to her if you still want what you had? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's also consenting adults, right? Like when, you know, like if you're making a transactional agreement and everybody is able to have a say, then like why the fuck not if it works for everyone? But there's also power dynamics here. Here's a very, very wealthy, rich white man, one of the richest men in the world, right? That has all the wealth. So people are going to allow him to do what he wants to do because of that power dynamic, right?
But if it was an underage girl, we'd have a problem.
Oh, but yeah. Oh, sure. That's a whole different
billionaire. Set. Different billionaire.
Yes.
He's not linked to Epstein and all that. Mm-hmm. Other conversation.
We'll never know now, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, so let's get into some of our audience questions. Or wait, actually, before the audience questions. I just want to shout out Chantal Dubois, personal trainer in Toronto, in Vaughan. Mother's Day special that just went down. I just caught myself some great merch in regards to some fitness attire. I'm posting them on my story, what I bought and what I'm wearing on my fitness journey. So you can go check it out on Alize Vlogs. Body shapers, tights, all that good stuff. And in regards to merch as well, Arlene, you are coming out with some merch.
Yes, for my business, for Hustle, Heal, Motivate, a private practice I have that's mostly therapeutic based. I offer therapy and coaching, counseling and coaching, mental health support, mostly it's for those that identify as women, and the majority of my people I connect with are criminalized women in the sex industry and whatnot.
And I have a clothing line that's attached to my branding, and it's like bad bitch branding. So it's like not your typical therapist. Lots of cute crops and cute tees. And I sourced an ethically sustainable sweatshop free clothing. So that will be dropping for my 1 year anniversary, which is June 1st.
Excited.
Nice. So we will lock in that date and check it out. So a question for you, Rachel, from The Voice.
Okay.
He's an avid questionnaire person that we get in here. So.
Salute to The Voice. He's back.
Yes.
He's always here. I don't even know why I say
he's back. Always consistent. So here's his question for you.
Hello, Ms. Ray. I see that you're a world of employment.
Put it on top of the mic.
Dance, and also the legal profession. What are the two qualities that you like in a mate if you were to date someone?
So I think we touched on it a little bit, but definitely ambitious. He's got to be a bit of a rebel because I'm a rebel too. And I think I found that one. I think I checked that one up.
Okay. What is your opinion on females in the sex industry?
I respect everybody's hustle, right? And I honestly, I don't. The sex industry and the criminalization of the sex industry is so bizarre to me. And when I look at a lot of things that Arlene posts, Maggie's posts a lot as well, a lot of the advocates within the sex work industry, these are individuals, like oftentimes there's a stigma associated with these individuals being people that are just doing it because either they have no other means, or it's not something that they necessarily enjoy to do. But like, especially speaking with Arlene and speaking with some of her friends that we've actually had on Connect the Six as well, this is something that, like, this is their work. It's something they're passionate about. It's something that they've loved. And who are we to judge anyone in terms of what their hustle is? And I think it's really just, if you have the mindset, the work ethic, regardless of what it is that you're doing, like, I'm not one to judge it.
Well, again, with COVID, let's talk about the rise of, for instance, like OnlyFans and other industries where a lot of women now can capitalize on. What's your take on that as well? I know we talked about it about almost 5 months ago, but I mean, there's been like a shift. I mean, people, like, let's just talk about a Bad Baby of female rapper. She opened up her OnlyFans and made about $1 million.
Cash on site, how about that?
Yeah, in 6 hours, right? And then think about the average woman who's just opening up themselves, or they've been a worker all their, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's like, how is that supposed to be perceived? A rapper who's not a sex worker can take advantage of a platform that is considered sex worker positive, and then just capitalize like crazy. And then there's the average sex worker, for instance, who's kind of struggling, or maybe not as.
Yeah, like I've heard a couple different viewpoints on that, but that's not necessarily where my, like, my expertise is on, like, OnlyFans. I'm like, get your bag, get it, but also respect the people that have been doing it first, right? Like, no matter what you're doing, respect the people that did it before you. And I think that's very important when you're stepping on people's toes, especially in like work, like sex work or hustling in other forms. You have to like pay your respects, pay your dues to those who, like, you know, did the groundwork. But the thing is like COVID, you see how it's like lined some people's pockets, like Bad Baby and stuff, but you've also seen it, you know, really shake people's lives. Sex workers' lives, like, have been displaced from their work because not everybody is
okay with going to, you know, pivot their work onto online work, especially full service sex workers, that are illegal, that are here from other countries, that can't show their face, that are mothers, whatnot, have so many different reasons why they can't get that bag, you know, are being criminalized in other aspects. And their work completely being taken away from them because of COVID.
And we do see it because there's a lot of news or entertainment pages on Instagram, for instance. And I find I see a lot of highlights of, for instance, like, oh, this lawyer or this teacher lost her job because they found out about her OnlyFans. It's like, why are people being criminalized? Because they're kind of being forced to do things online, and now you're kind of being showcased in a public way. And it's like, it's now the stigma of, you know, shame on you. You shouldn't be doing this. Right? Or even the girl that graduated and she was like topless or whatever. I think they're suing her now.
Yeah.
It's a graduation photo.
And the thing is, this shit has been always happening. But the thing is, now that the more like normie folks, like white privileged folks, it's happening to them, where it's not like behind the scenes, like your typical, like, you know, prostitute or streetwalker that's living with the stigmatization of sex work every day. It's more mainstream folks that are starting to become impacted. So you're seeing these things happen, but it's been happening, right?
People are, I think the thing is that if a sex worker does it and goes on OnlyFans, it's like, oh, you're doing that now. But like for the average girl that is sexy or deemed as, oh my gosh, why don't you open OnlyFans? You could be making so much money. It's like, just look at the narrative of how people are presenting it. Like just because you look good or appealing, it's like, go on OnlyFans. You don't even have to take your clothes off. And there's girls who really take their clothes off, and they shouldn't be looked at as any less because they're actually having sex, or they have to actually do the bold work of meet with a man or somebody else in person and have to put their life at risk to try to make an extra dollar. And now are being forced to now, okay, take pictures, take video, get ready for the camera, something that was so against your whole like forte of work. Now you have to put yourself in the spotlight and then actually identify yourself as, hey, this is me. Like, people don't understand like how like defining it is to even not just open up an OnlyFans, but an online account to portray yourself in a sexual light.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's very intimidating. And a lot of women couldn't do sex work because, yeah, I'm sexy, but it doesn't mean I need to do that. Even if I want to, it's like, I don't know if I have the real, you know, confidence to do it. And then the women that are doing it, it's like, oh, you're doing it? Just go on OnlyFans, easy. It's not that easy.
It's not easy. And like, and the thing is like, people don't understand. Like, anyone could hustle if they had the mentality, you know. No, it's like that business oriented, like that business mind that you were talking about, of the people in the trap program, you know, that like, you have to have a certain kind of mindset to be able to do it. It like, and anyone could be like, it's gross to say, but marketable, right? It's not like, oh, you're hot, you're gonna just like enter OnlyFans and make millions. Like, not everyone's like a bad baby, you know, like that have that clout that's going to like fill their pockets.
It's intimidating because then you look at, for instance, there's strippers and then there's prostitutes. But then sometimes it overlaps.
Oh, yeah.
There's right. All the time. But to face value to the regular society, it's like a stripper only needs to take her clothes off to a certain extent. And I heard in certain strip clubs, they don't even have to go naked. They can wear certain, I guess, I don't know if it's in the States, but so I think.
So you can't.
Yeah, there's laws. Like, there's like in peep shows and
New York
stuff.
City,
you can only go
bottomless.
Yeah, different
Which is
states
interesting
have different
because
rules.
For a lot of people with the knowledge or the lack of, it's like they think that, okay, stripping is easy because I don't have to really do anything, contact physically with somebody. Whereas, just think about the psychology. For a woman to even get into stripping, there was a whole psychology she had to go through. Then to say, okay, stripping, but now go on OnlyFans. Then to be tested again and say, oh, you just take it off, so why don't you start doing stuff with yourself now? For that person who already had filters and guidelines saying, I'm not trying to do certain things, it's like the pressure of now going online and then everybody kind of coming at you is the same thing like being in the club or the same thing with meeting with somebody in person. You're going to always be pressed regardless. So again, the stigma of people thinking that it's just so easy just because a rapper can jump on and make $1 million in 6 hours. It's like, that was almost boastful. It was like really kind of unfortunate to see because it's like, you're already so popular. You make so much money. It's like a Kylie Jenner saying, okay, go fund me so I can become a billionaire and not just be a millionaire. You know, it's so privileged to do that. And the hustle gets, I guess, underrepresented because for a woman to even make a decision consciously to say, hey, I want to make, you know, make my body a commodity for services of any extent, fetishes or sex, whatever. It's a lot. And I think that that gets lost when you have public figures that don't have to go through the same struggle or go through the same psychological wars that most women go through to just kind of do it and just flaunt it and say, hey, it's easy peasy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let me snap another question in there based on like OnlyFans and stuff like that, just because it's like a really online thing, right? What are y'all opinions on leaks? Because, you know, we've had guests like on We Love Hip Hop podcast and other podcasts under the network, like Chroma's, right? And she has publicly expressed that she has to deal with a lot of leaks and stuff like that. What are y'all opinions on that? And like, why do you think that happens?
She's a rapper. She's also
not only just for Chroma's. I'm just talking just for women on OnlyFans, period.
Well, I think the average girl is a little bit more safe because most people are not making a certain amount. When you're talking about Chromas or public figures and people that are, I guess, super popular, the more popular you are, the more you're going to have a lot more haters, a lot more hackers, a lot more things. So I think it's about the analytics of the more popular you are, the more types of people you're going to attract.
The more clout you have, yeah.
If you cater to a more niche market, like there are people that have a certain reputation or a certain status, but they have a certain clientele, and that clientele is more respectful and willing to be more what they are, a client and a fan, right? So then they'll respect you a lot more than one, and they'll keep subscribing versus the ones that say, yo, I just want to see her of a JJ and I just want to come share. Like, I heard about leaks myself as well with like somebody like her, and like, just again, but she's also said with her rise to success that she did have people that she sent content to that paid lots of money for different things, like her vagina, right? Yeah. So it wouldn't be too hard to imagine.
And not to interrupt, let's take it away from Chroma, just period, right? Like, what do y'all think? Like, leaks come out, like, you know, the people's OnlyFans get reposted on Pornhub and all these different types of things, right?
Facts.
Yeah, like,
even like the gym that I used to go to, it was shut down because there was a man that was recording us and putting those videos onto Pornhub. So there's leaks in so many different areas. Leaks also in the music industry, and it happens all the time. Yeah. You know, people be recording and then it leaks and then it like fucks up their business. Leaks suck. Like, you know, it really impacts people, and especially when it's like your body and it's like intimate moments where you're sharing that with someone and you're like doing a financial interaction. Like, these are for sale. These aren't for free. You know, this isn't for your benefit, just for free. And there's like, there's rules around these things, and that's, it's not okay. It's not okay to do that in any facets. Like, it's similar to like, disclosure, like people disclosing someone's sex work. Well, in like, oh, that person's a sex worker. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not yours to disclose, you know? Yeah, yeah. And that is, we live in a criminalized society. Like, sex work is criminal in Canada. And people don't realize that. And so outing someone and disclosing someone, you know, showing someone their like Leo's List ad and like, you know, like outing them, putting it out on social media. We're in a society, you could leak anything in a minute and it's out there, you know, and it's dangerous. It impacts people's lives. It impacts people's jobs. And it can impact their, like, you know, their, like,
their self-confidence. Like, well, just look, this is why so many people don't do it, because they're like, all it takes is one photo. All it takes is one video. All it takes is something recognizable, tattoo, beauty mark, or something, and showing it to the wrong person. And that's why you have to kind of take precautions, too, about if you are going to do it, do you have safety nets in place? Are you putting full images? Are you putting blurry images? Are you doing things to protect yourself where you're not giving too much, but you're giving just enough? Like, you gotta like think about these things strategically. And that's why women that do it have to get the kudos and the respect, because once you pass that threshold and that line where you're actually going to do something on social media with the whole hub and everything like that in the cloud, you take such a risk.
And people always say, like, you know what you're doing. And it's like, no, that's not a part of the game. It's not a part of the game. Because I choose to make money doesn't mean that I should be getting a call from CAS and having to explain to them why I'm, how that even connects with each other, you know? Like, and that's the thing that people don't realize. You think it's funny disclosing that this person, like, you know, gave out a wazzle on a Wednesday, you know? And
wazzle on a Wednesday.
Wazzle on a Wednesday. You know, like at the end of the day, you have to deal with these systems that oppress people and that criminalize people. Whereas, like, single mothers trying to like pay their rent and, you know, may not be able to get another job because people have outed their pictures or whatever. I'm from Sault Ste. Marie, where when they arrest people, it doesn't matter for what, they have this thing called the police beat. And they put your name in the paper.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
No matter what it was. So a couple years back, they did a mass sweep of all the street-based sex workers in downtown Sault Ste. Marie. And they like arrested 12 of them. Put them, their name, their fucking addresses.
Stop it.
Their addresses.
Wow. So listing them like pedophiles. Like, I mean, sorry.
Like, wow. And they don't even do that. Even do that half the time, you know?
Probably serve more time than one, too. Jeez.
Yo, and like, there was like a mother, there was a daughter, like, there was like, you know, and their home addresses. People were picketing outside of their, like, there was so much public shaming and horophobia that me and another girl, we started an open letter. The police got on side with the paper. They started like doing it was insane. The mayor was involved in everything, and we started this thing called Stop the Arrest Sault Ste. Marie, and we were calling for a moratorium on all the arrests because
That's crazy. Address
it was so dangerous. It was so dangerous. So anytime they were out in the city, people were harassing them. There's the local whore. Like, it was...
Wow.
Like, this shit really impacts people, right? And that's going to follow them.
Yeah.
What was the term that you used?
Horophobia.
Did you just come up with that off the dome, or was that
That's been around.
Like two titles today.
Horophobia.
On a Wednesday and horophobia. I don't know which one we're going to use today. Holy.
Wow. Yeah, that's
horophobia
terrible.
Horophobia might not go on YouTube though.
Not good. Not good.
The exciting thing is. And I'm not sure if you knew about the Bedford Challenge that happened years ago, where three sex workers took the Supreme Court, went to the Supreme Court and took the Canadian government to court, sued them because of the sex work laws. And they were deemed unconstitutional. Like, unanimously, the highest court in Canada said these are, like, these oppress sex workers and, you know, put sex workers at risk. And so it was Stephen Harper, and he was just like, overruled it and put a new legislation, on the table, and just like didn't listen to anything that the Supreme Court of Canada said, and then implemented heavier laws. Some of them were regurgitated, but we just launched March 30th and a new charter challenge, and we're going back to the Supreme Court again to challenge the new laws that he
hopefully
brought
forth. It gets you know, looked at and actually changed, because that's some bullshit right there. Wow. Sault Ste. Marie. Damn.
Yeah.
Okay. So are both of you guys feminists by any chance?
I would say yes.
Yeah.
I would say yes.
Just a question.
Yeah.
So what is your background, Rachel?
Are we talking like...
Culturally?
Okay. So I'm Jamaican, Chinese, and Spanish.
Cool mix. Fascinating. Arlene?
Finnish.
Finnish?
Yeah, I'm French.
French. Okay. Well, which one? France or like...
Quebecois.
Oh, okay. Got some French in the building.
Vive la Savance.
La Promise. Yeah, just wanting to, you know, give some culture and some background to our listeners and viewers. Do you guys, okay, so I guess I can open up to both of you now at this point. Do you consider yourself to be a sexually charged woman?
Ooh, we're getting deep.
Mm. That's all we do.
I'll let you answer that one first.
I feel like I'm a sexual woman. Like, I'm very sexual, more on a sensual side. I like... But
emo girl,
emo girl, not emo, like, but I'm vanilla at the same time. People see me, they think, they assume, like, oh yeah, she's freak, she gets down, like, you know. And then and then, well, you've seen the girls that I brought in, like, some of them wild, and I'm just like,
I'm subtle.
Like, you know, in the right place with the right person and the right...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say, like, very similar. Like, I'm very reserved. But it really comes down to the right... When you have the right partner and there's communication, I think communication is very key. Then, I mean, from there, things just evolve, right?
Okay. Be nasty in the right place.
With the right, right person.
Yep.
Toronto man question. I feel that it's been recurring here on the show. And I'm not originally from Toronto, so I'm just giving that disclosure.
Still Toronto anyhow, man. Yeah. They're coming for you.
Anyhow. Are Toronto men's stush, and or maybe are they uptight in the bedroom? A lot of no's. I don't do this, I don't do that. Man don't suck pussy, man don't bow, man don't lick no body, all them type of thing. You know, they're not eating groceries, they're not doing all the things, you know what I mean?
But I think that's
y'all like.
But it's fair to say that does every woman want what is assumed that every guy should be giving?
Well,
that's a valid question. That is very valid.
If y'all want to get extra freaky, and I'm not, I know you've been in the situation for a while, but like.
Oh, so it's just directed to me now. You're going to bring out the Wazzle Wednesday.
Yeah, on Wazzle Wednesday, is he saying, nah, man, don't go down there still, but you can give me a head us.
I can't fuck with that mindset. I can't fuck with that mindset. Like, I'm a grown woman. You need to be able to, like, treat me as a grown woman. Like, yeah, you need to be on that level. You need to be on my level. If you can't, I need you to be a leader for me in the bedroom and not, I can't fuck with that immature bullshit.
Are you encountering it?
No, because once I feel it, I'm like... You can sense the mindset, you know, like how someone's like going to treat you, you know, like maybe a couple years ago. Yeah. Like when I was like more like new to dating in Toronto, like maybe, but I learned real quick. Real quick. Okay. That's not his best friend he lives with. That's not his best friend he lives with.
So
we can't go to its house because, you find out real quick.
Okay, so that brings me to another question, and this is for all three of y'all, okay? Lil Duval, he did a tweet not too long ago where he was, I guess, single man shaming or men over 30s. He said a man over 30 shouldn't be living with another man, like he shouldn't have a roommate as another man. Is this facts or fiction?
I don't see anything wrong with that. I know quite a few individuals who do have roommates and
in their 30s?
In their 30s. Mm-hmm. But I've also seen their business portfolio.
Yeah, it's about the mindset. Like, where's right? their mindset? Like, where are they going?
Exactly.
Where are they going? Are they staying there? Like, is this bachelor party?
Yeah, and like I think there's so much more to it behind just like, and I've had actually this conversation with a couple of individuals, and it's really like if you're living with like one, we don't know people's financial circumstances, but I mean for a lot of individuals that I know, they're doing that by choice because there's a bigger picture, Mm-hmm. Right? So in that case, like, I don't see any issue with it at all.
Absolutely. I'm looking at, like, the housing market right now. It is really, really difficult. Like, if they have the mindset of, like, I want to purchase, but in order to be able to own my own property, I need to live like this. You know, I need to stay down for the come up. Mm-hmm. And if they have that mentality, then that's different. But if they're just like, you know, like flashing their band, look at, I could throw my bands down my, like, you know, that mentality and spending money on their shoes and don't have that. Mm.
Then you go to the house and it's a frat house.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's also
pizza boxes all over the place.
I think it's about circumstances, because if you have kids, that has to be factored in. Why aren't you living with your kids, or why aren't you living in a habitable place to bring your children? Right. Secondly, are you dating somebody? Do you have multiple baby mothers? Are you doing it as a cop out so that you don't have to
bring it way closer?
So you don't have to be fully engaged with, you know, either one. Are you doing it to evade responsibilities? Like, you got to look at the full entirety of the picture. So in order to assess and really answer properly, you'd kind of have to have a full dynamic picture of the kind of individual you're looking at, 100%. So that you can, like, understand, are you living with a relative because you're bad with finances, or you're saving your money just because you don't want to spend it in the areas that you're required to? Like, there's so many factors in hand.
I find that the no broke boys kind of mentality is just like, it's shallow. Like, it's deeper than that. Like, if you have a plan and you know where you're going, I don't care where you're at right now. As long as you have a purpose and your mind is set on that purpose, then that's a different story than, like, someone that's just, like, grounded in where they're at and there's not even really excuses, you know? Then it's just,
No, I agree.
Broke boys can get some too.
Pardon?
Broke boys can get some too. Salute to the broke boys.
Depends if they got that.
Broke boys. Have any of you guys been incarcerated for any lengthy period of time?
I wouldn't say lengthy, like, in comparison to, you know, like, people that have, you know, done real time. I haven't done real time, but yes, I've been incarcerated. I've done, like, mini time. all of my charge. I just got a pardon last year.
Nice.
Took me over a decade to get a fucking pardon. A little info about me is, like, I come from, like, a history, like, I grew up on the streets, like, a baby. Like, I was my daughter's age when I was on the streets. And so I was dealing with police and the police system at a very young age. So all my record was, like, fuckery, because, like, I lived in poverty. I went to jail for stealing garbage because I didn't know what I was going to eat the next day. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, that's the kind of bullshit. I had 3 charges of an assault of an officer on my record. And, you know, I was the one that got beat black and blue. But I didn't do huge time, but I've definitely dealt with my fair share. The biggest kind of barrier with it was me trying to pursue, because I'm also, even though I come from the streets and come from poverty, I still got my education and was being able to have, like, to prove myself as an actual academic and actual person that, you know, should be hired before the next person because I have a criminal record.
So I've been arrested, but I haven't been incarcerated. I think that's the easiest and safest way to answer that question.
Because it's just about, like, highlighting, because a lot of our topics, sometimes we talk about a lot of, like, the hood niggas or the Toronto men and all of that stuff. So, I mean, for women empowerment, we have to show the good, the bad, the ugly, and the real. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, and so make sure we keep it transparent. So it's not just the sexual side that we talk about women, as if that's all we're good for. No. We also have real lives. We have real situations. And we have things that, you know, you wouldn't expect from how a person looks. And that's what makes it more real. And to our listeners, obviously you can't see, but definitely go on YouTube and you'll be able to see what everybody looks like, so you can actually put a face to the personality that you're hearing on the podcast. That just makes it more intriguing.
Yeah.
So as a positive role model in the community, do you feel you have to maintain a certain image, or are you indifferent to the opinions because of the type of work you're in? Because I know, Arlene, like, you are very courageous, brave. You do the most in regards to activism stuff, but you still keep it sexual and still keep it feminine, right? Because you're just confident like that. So with Rachel, I know you're in a similar line of work in regards to, you know, the system, society, dealing with recidivism, so people in and out, and just trying to, you know, obviously promote putting their best foot forward. So because you're under so much scrutiny sometimes with being an example, do you still keep it kind of sexy a bit? I think
it's important to be your most authentic self. And even for me, I think that was something that I did struggle with a little bit, where I kept my personal page private. And then we had our Keepsakes page, which my face is on quite regularly, was the sort of public, but I kept my personal page private because there was sort of that worry in terms of credibility, in terms of I'm having conversations with city council officials and someone's going to pull up my page and see this, that, and the other and be like, hold on.
Oh, she's a real woman. Right? Oh, no.
And it's funny because I had a conversation with some of my tribe sisters and they were like, no, like, this is who you are. This is your authentic self. And on my personal page, I've never had an issue in terms of the things that I've posted. But at the same time, I was still able to monitor who was seeing what.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, one of the steps within my growth was being able to make my page public.
The I don't give a fuck attitude.
And be like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to continue to be my true authentic self. But now I'm allowing everybody to see it. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a really big step. I actually just recently did that, like, maybe a month or so ago, if that.
But you're not soliciting. And this is where the fine line comes in, because as women, it's like we're so tested with our presentation and our personalities, and sexuality gets challenged on a simple picture. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, if I post this, what are people going to think? I'm already past that. I don't give a fuck type of stage, because if you look at my pictures, it is what it is, right? I'm posting all kind of stuff. But the idea is, like, for women that are in certain industries now, because I used to be a part of that side, and then I has, you know, looked at things and I'm like, when I'm presenting this side of me, people look past it and they want that sexy side.
Yep.
Because I used to start off with poetry, and then when I started doing the rap music is when I felt empowered and in the most control. When I was doing poetry, I felt filtered, I felt like in a box, and I was trying to, you know, get performances and do things, but people didn't want to pay me. They just loved that community volunteerism, and they just wanted that. But then they always still wanted to pursue on the low, like, you know, I still get people making passes at me, right? So it's that same personality of, okay, I can be me.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to want this anyways. Do I give it to them in their face? Do I feed it to them on a silver platter? Mm-hmm. Or do I do what society wants me to do, repress that side, and then just somehow still give that insightfulness to the people that are looking at me that are going to want to see more anyways?
Trust me. That was like one of the hardest things for me, because branching out into my private practice as like a mental health practitioner, but someone that also like has ass pics all over the internet, right? And like that mind fucked so many people. Like even my supervisor, like my logo for my business is me in booty shorts with a balaclava on, you know, and tattooed as fuck. That's my authentic self. And just because I look this way doesn't mean that I can't present, be a sexual person, but also be a therapeutic person. Mm. Like, why do I have to compartmentalize?
When they do it to you anyways, because the minute, think about it, like, if you're a bodacious woman, and you have features, the tighter the top or the more reserved, it doesn't hide the fact that you have big breasts or a big bump. You know what I mean? It's like somebody in their own mind and in their own right is still going to find something attractive of you. And they're still going to probably pursue you on a certain level. Because sometimes in the reverse, the more covered up we are, sometimes that attracts people too. So who are we really catering ourselves to when either way, you're damned when you do and you're damned when you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then you psychologically have to now deal with that every time you go home or unwind and have to realize, okay, what am I going to wear tomorrow? Mm-hmm. This top says business, but this top also is an invitation.
And that's what I was struggling with at the beginning. I was like, oh, you know, like I went into Ritzy and bought the button-up blouses.
And then it pops. Like, it doesn't go past the top.
Right? Like, and, you know, and I was just like, this isn't me. And then the clients, like when I opened up my practice in June, like within a couple of weeks, I was already full. And I was like, why am I so full? And me, like, you know, and I, my supervisor, like, you know, other people, you know, we talk through this and it was like, because I am myself. And so there is a niche of people that want mental health support and want therapy that don't feel like they want to go to see the nice, you know, middle-aged white woman that, you know,
covered in tats,
that doesn't have any life experiences, you know, or there's this woman that like is authentic, talks about her, like, you know, her criminal history, her life on the streets. And, you know, I talk about my connection and my relationship with the sex industry. I talk about, you know, I'm transparent.
You're a mirror for them, right? Mm-hmm. That's what the reality is that when we're mirrors for people, we also see ourselves and they see us for who we are.
I wouldn't have the people coming to me and, you know, but at the same time, there's conservative bodies like the Ontario School of Social Work that oversees things that if they see my Instagram page, you know, then like I'll have to defend myself in front of these conservative bodies because, you know, because of that stigmatization and because it's not normalized to be confident in your sexuality and stuff like that in such aspects. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting when you cannot combine the two.
You made a really good point too in terms of like just individuals that are seeking support, but they're not seeking it from that traditional conservative individual. And that's something that I've seen too, like, there's so many individuals that provide certain levels of mental health support or programming or resources.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody can't relate to you, then you're not getting through.
Yeah.
And it's that's where that lived experience comes in, that need for authentic mentorship comes in. Mm-hmm. Because there are individuals who can say, okay, we can speak from an academic standpoint. Yeah, I've done the academics. But I've also lived the life as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not just telling you something because I've learned it from a book, so to speak. I've learned it from what my practice is supposed to be. But it's, I understand, I can relate, I've been there.
Yeah.
And it helps to build that level of rapport.
People are going to share with me shit they're not going to share with anyone else. You 100%. Know, like,
it's diversity.
Yeah.
If you look around the table right now, we all represent different demographics and we represent different things. Like, we share a few things in common. We all have tattoos.
Yeah.
You know, we all understand sexuality. We understand the system. We understand certain things. And the average person that would walk through this door would be able to say, okay, I can relate to at least one of these women.
Mm.
If we all looked very staged or fit the profile or the bar of what somebody's supposed to expect is this is what we want to present, then it becomes awkward. So I think it's great that you ladies both embody yourselves and feel the confidence to finally be able to be your true self, which is always evolving, but it's always at the speed that you want to be seen as.
And challenging the system while we're doing it.
Yeah, no, for
sure. That's the one thing that I like honor and love about Rachel and kind of like brings us together is like we both have that like passion to be who we are, but still like, you know, really try to change and fuck up the system in the meantime that we've seen.
I like it. audience question. Is chivalry dead?
It's not very common.
Yeah.
It was so random.
Don't say that much.
Okay.
It's not very common. I think there are certain... I think there's still individuals that... display it, and it's funny though because they stand out because it's not common. So when you do see those few individuals, it's like, whoa, like, you know, and they become sort of that, like, that talk. around, like, when you, all the girls get together, it's like, yeah, but did you hear about this person?
He told me to walk on the inside of the sidewalk.
He must not
he opened the door for
he
me.
He must not be from Toronto.
So it's still there. It's just rare. And when it is rarely seen, it stands out. Mm-hmm. And it resonates and it kind of sits in there. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, what would you say is the biggest turn on and turn off from a partner?
I'm letting you go first.
I'm thinking.
Or are you so understanding that there's not too much of those things needed? Because if you're at a comfortable place, then you're not really focused on the things that turn you off. You're kind of compromising and understanding and kind of not...
Like, I'm trying to think. I'm like, I can't really think of anything that turns me off.
You're not. Someone that's lazy. Lazy turns me off. Unmotivated.
Yeah, that would annoy me. If you sat in front of a TV all day or played video games from morning till night, I would lose my shit.
All the gamers just
but like turn me on. They need to smell good. Smell good.
If you're looking at, if you're sitting in front of a screen all day, you better be like trading or researching crypto or doing editing. Something along kind those of
research
lines.
Research on how something. To dismantle the government. Hey?
Oh yeah.
Bring down the system.
Bring down the prison walls.
Yeah.
I guess it might be more challenging for you because you have to kind of almost in a sense force yourself to appreciate what you do have whenever you are around somebody. Because I guess that applies to somebody who's more around somebody who's frequently like a live-in situation or casual dating, because you're not in a typical situation. So I guess we won't even ask you to answer this one because it doesn't make any sense. Because to kind of put you into a place when you are around your partner is like, it's not frequent enough in the last little bit for you to really like say, okay, like this is, you know, my turn on, turn off. It's just you kind of have to work with what you have at the time when you have it.
Right. I would say like my biggest turn on, honestly, is like that willingness, like the family orientation. And not just family orientation, but just that willingness to help everyone. And he's known as that person who's always willing to help everybody. And it could be something as little as like, we go tobogganing and it's like, you got to make sure all the kids are like, have their toboggan. Like, it's like he's very like family oriented that way. But it could also be like inside, like everybody's like, yo, I can go to him. And like, if I need this or that or this or whatever, like he's always willing, you know? And that I think is like my biggest thing in terms of him just being that go-to person, whether it's for advice or people just, you know? So I think that's for me is like, I like sitting back and just watching or listening.
I like that you're so in depth, like, because mostly people would say turn off, okay, they, you know, it's more of a physical thing or whatever. So I like that a lot of people are past that typical maybe young-minded girl perspective. Oh, I need a guy that's gonna have this, he needs to have that, he needs to have abs, he needs to have this, be this tall, da da da, like that whole criteria. It just seems so like passive. So I like the fact that I'm
growing over here.
Yeah. So we are going to jump into our fun card game here.
Okay.
So I know Arlene's played it before. So
I don't think you had the card game.
When you were on the show, we didn't do the cards yet.
No. Oh, shit. So this is new for you.
Yeah. Okay.
So what you're going to do is just spin the dice, and whatever number you spin, you're going to just read the question on the card.
So 7.
And just read out the number 7 question. Arlene, you're next.
Have you unzipped a man's pants zipper in public? Yes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Ain't nothing. Right?
Just like that? I was waiting for something. I was like, what?
Just like that, eh?
Just like that.
You ain't going to tell us?
No.
Okay.
Just like that.
Don't ask, don't tell.
But we're saving that for the Casamigos, eh? That's what we're saving that for.
The Casamigos.
Nails were getting in the way.
You don't read it first. Just read it out loud.
So and you can pass if random. Have you slid down a banister wearing a skirt but no panties?
That just sounds painful.
Yeah, I could just like, my butt's not moving. I could just like, see, like I'm stuck. And like,
you have to be like super wet or something to keep going sliding without any issues.
Like, yeah, or like move the staircase or something, eh? I don't wear panties.
Oh,
so
shit.
There we go.
No panties on or Lady Jane. Okay, so what you got?
Have you had penetrative sex with two people at the same time? No.
Because I was going to be like, this is going to be a fun Casamigos night.
Getting all the dirt tonight.
She's excited.
Have you licked a lover's anus? No, it's not my thing. But they can lick mine.
Okay.
What about groceries?
Gosh.
Oh, he's got eight. Anxious for this question,
that's
eh?
Fun. Who is the biggest slut, it's called?
Have you had sex on a countertop? Yes.
Damn.
You're just waiting for details, eh?
We get them tonight. Oh, I didn't even roll it.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just jumping ahead here.
Excited.
Have you had sex at a campground? Yeah.
I feel like that would be, like, uncomfortable. Was it?
I'm from St. Marie. We camp.
Those are good.
We camp. We're like Northern Ontario folks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We like the woods and shit.
Have you tried to steal a rival's boyfriend? No.
Rival. That's like high school stuff. Oh, no. It's pretty grown, yeah. I can see that. So we'll do one more for both of you.
Okay.
So.
I keep getting that four. Let's see. Have you pretended a penis was a joystick or shift gear? Not yet.
I guess a hand job because it's like...
Yeah, but I've never like...
Second gear,
I'm
third
not a
gear.
Car person. Like, I just started driving, so no.
Go ouch.
Okay. Oh, this is the rules.
Oh, okay.
Have you asked a lover to bite your genitals during oral sex? No.
Your what?
To bite your genitals during oral sex.
Well, let's
sex.
Just say vajayjay.
Like nipple?
Yeah, that's probably a better.
I've never asked for it to be done.
New ideas.
Hmm? Do you get any?
To answer questions?
Yeah.
I just ask them. Or I present them. Well, that's it for our question period, but I think our conversation was really good. I actually wanted to keep going, but we do got to cut for time. But I think that if people want to find out more about both of your initiatives, they should definitely follow on Instagram, send DMs, and get connected, because you guys are really doing great work in the city and in the community. And as women, I always appreciate having ambitious women to, what is it, tap my hat? What? Take my...
Tip.
Tip my hat. Yes, there we go. Because I wear many hats myself. But yeah, I was really inspired by our conversations today. And I think a lot of people are going to start asking some questions. Hopefully they follow and they try to even get involved with what you guys have going on. And yeah, I just want to say, like, keep it balanced. As long as you feel like you're you. Mm. And if you start feeling lost, just do what you need to do to get back to you. Because if we're evolving as people, then we're always in a state of change. So who we were 3 days ago may not be who we are in 2 weeks, right? Different experiences happen. So I just think that it's always good that we get back to where we feel most comfortable, because we are always forced by the elements to sometimes stray. So that's
appreciate
my advice.
That.
And
appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, always a pleasure.
Early thank you for having
seeing
us.
You again. And Rachel, thanks for coming through and bringing that transparency. And I always appreciate the honesty that a lot of the guests bring forth, because it's hard. Sometimes it's not easy to just talk to people you don't know, but sometimes we speak our most honest truth to people we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It works out better that way sometimes, because it's like, what do they know to compare what you're telling them to?
It's true.
Like,
yeah, it's true. And thank you for like creating a safe space too. Because I think it's very important. I know it's something that we've talked about a lot in terms of like within the city, that being an opportunity. So, I mean, I've been watching Zaylinks for, well, since you guys were on, which was back in December. But really just creating a safe space for individuals to to come on.
And like, not just a safe space, like a space that really like challenges the norms in different ways. As much as you like don't dive into politics, like Rachel and I may have, you do. You really challenge the norms in society, and you're like targeting a lot of people that wouldn't listen to these conversations before. You know, like you're really reaching a lot of people that need to be reached, and like that's, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're dope.
Yay, Zaylinks. Yeah, so we try to keep it real here on the show. We try to keep it transparent, and I think we do a really good job delivering that. Nothing is ever coached or pre-screened. I don't let any of the guests know any questions in advance for good reason, because we bring the authenticity.
Even if they try. Even if they try.
It just goes down like that. But again, it's a safe space, and it's comfortable, and it's relaxing, and you know, we can have our, you know, beverages, we can keep it chill. And I mean, we're here to deliver a great experience, and that's all we want you to do, is take away something you didn't learn or know before. So appreciate it, guys. Follow Zaylinks on Instagram, Alizé Vlogs. I'm your host. Follow Friday Ricky Dread. Follow We Love Hip Hop Network, the umbrella company for all of this. Follow Arlene Jane on Instagram, and follow Rachel XY?
Razy.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I don't know the last name, but
okay.
Yeah, your profile. We'll have your handles on Instagram.
We'll pop it up on the screen and stuff.
Yeah.
I got a song for you to lead us out to. We did talk about Lil Duval earlier, so I'm going to lead us out with his tune, Smile. I'm not going to say the B word, though. Let's go. I'm living my best life. Ain't going back and forth with you niggas. I'm living my best life. Ain't going back and forth with you niggas. I'm living my best life. Ain't going back and forth with you niggas. I'm living my best life. Ain't going back and forth with you niggas. You got a lot to be smiling for.